This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
55% of people in this country have heard about the conspiracy theories or discussed them with their friends. And I think that's absolutely incredible. Like, people who have absolutely no interest on day-to-day basis of the royal family have bought into this story and they're absolutely hooked in by the sort of drama of it all, and yet forgetting that there is a woman who has been in the hospital for a serious medical operation.
Hi everyone, we're back for another episode of A Right Royal Podcast with me, Andrea.
And me, Emily.
Wait, hang on, where's Emmy?
She is sunning herself, I don't know if it's sunny actually, in Tokyo, where she's in the middle of her three-week honeymoon. Happy honeymoon to Emmy.
Happy honeymoon, Emmy, we miss you. Well, she hasn't missed much, has she? And neither have you. You've had some surgery too.
I have taken a leave from the public eye for a period of surgery and recuperation. I'm choosing to keep details private at this moment, Andrea.
Totally respect that.
But I am back at work and seeing is believing, unfortunately for you.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad everything has turned out okay with that. But let's get into this week's episode.
I mean, where do we begin? We will be discussing the latest royal news surrounding the so-called Kate Gate, and talking to the Daily Mirror's royal editor, Russell Myers, who broke the story earlier this week that at least one authorised member of staff at the London Clinic attempted to access Kate's private medical records.
Oh, now, before we join Russell, I want to get your take on the past 3 weeks, because I'm only just seeing you for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not joking when I say that happily I was unconscious for some of the past few weeks, and I do feel like I haven't fully woken up because the world has gone absolutely bonkers.
Bonkers, that is right, absolutely bonkers. Can I just say, what's been like the most bonkers tweet that you've read?
Look, I've actually had to abandon looking at social media because it's made me so angry, quite frankly, and I'll go into that later. But what has shocked me the most is people that I know and respect and like asking me questions
that are ridiculous,
that are insane, quite frankly. And there's no disrespect to some of my dear friends, but
yeah, we love you, but you've been exhausting.
You're a one to talk, madam. It's been really quite unprecedented. I know that word gets used a lot when we talk about the royal beat, but I think the issue is basically there's been a perfect storm of a lot of unanswered questions, slightly mysterious going-ons, which I think have perfectly normal explanations, but all coming at once and then set against the backdrop of an absolute wild west of social media.
Yeah.
And people setting themselves up on various platforms as experts and peddling absolute nonsense to people who sadly aren't questioning the things that they read. And I think it really reflects very badly on a lot of people.
I agree. Now, where do you think it all started to go wrong?
I think that the difficulty we have is that this is one of the most photographed and well-known women in the world, the Princess of Wales, being absent from the public eye. And although the palace have been entirely consistent with their explanation, you know, we know she had surgery, she had 2 weeks in hospital, she's been recuperating privately, they've never wavered in what they've been saying. But our society is now in a situation where we demand detail, we demand information. We're used to celebrities and other people opening up like never before.
Yeah, oversharing.
On social media. And we've now come to expect it. And so in the absence of information, people will fill a vacuum with, as we've discovered, sometimes the most lurid and ridiculous things you can possibly imagine. Now, that has come against the backdrop of things not being normal within the royal family at the moment. Obviously, King Charles is recovering and being treated for cancer. Kate's absent. There are lots of things going on behind the scenes. And I think it's left people questioning what's really going on behind the scenes, when actually the answer is probably fairly dull and boring. It wasn't helped, however, by the release of this photograph. Now, you are the photographic expert in the room, Andrea, so you can talk our listeners through that moment?
Well, actually, that day was one of my busiest days. So I saw the photo and genuinely my first thought was, wow, she's sitting down, you know, in a chair. To me, that was just different. And I thought, she's making an effort. What a beautiful photo. And then I closed my email and then I logged back on like a couple of hours later because, you know, I was on my shift and I was busy. And then when I got a closer look, I was like, oh no. And now we've looked at photos before released by Kate. We've seen that she's done minor tweaks. We've actually approached the palace sometimes and they've just never wanted to comment. So, you know, we've never given it much thought. But I think the fact that she edited the picture when we most wanted to see her, it was just bad timing, I think. We just wanted a clear picture. And there were so many things to that photo that if it wasn't for the circumstances we were in, no one would have questioned Charlotte's sleeve and skirt and other random bits that are in the picture. But the fact that she had chosen to do that in her first photo since surgery definitely made everything just spiral.
Yeah, look, I think it's really interesting because, you know, God, there can't be any people in the public eye out there who haven't had images of them digitally enhanced, shall we say, either by themselves or by the people. You do it as a family photographer. And I think that, yes, perhaps it wasn't her best piece of work, shall we say. But on the face of it, this was a lovely family photograph that she wanted to share with people on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And it was a way of, she hoped, I believe, you know, putting to bed some of the outlandish rumours about her family, about her marriage that have been going around. And it's just so unfortunate that that came against the backdrop of all this uncertainty, but also in a world where news agencies in particular are incredibly concerned about the rise of AI deepfakes, the need to show the truth.
Yeah.
Because people are, more than ever before, starting to question what they see and what they consume. Now, I think with hindsight, they probably would have called a professional photographer to come in and do it, but that's their prerogative. And I'm sure it's something that they will be discussing very seriously in future. But let's just take a quick recap over the past few weeks since we last spoke. I think on the day we last were in the studio, William pulled out of his godfather, King Constantine's memorial service.
That, for personal reasons.
That raised questions. Look, my understanding is absolutely nothing untoward whatsoever. And he apologised and it was one of those unavoidable situations. Then we had the very tragic death of Thomas Kingston, husband of Lady Gabriella Windsor.
Which actually happened 2 days before we found out.
This is true. And so there were all these issues going on around the royal family, building intrigue where perhaps there shouldn't have been any. But again, in the absence of normal activity, if you like, from the King and Kate, it helped these rumours to build. Yeah. So the first time we actually saw Kate was in a pap shot, not published in the UK, but published overseas, sitting in the passenger seat of a car with her mum, Carol Middleton. For some people, that was proof enough. For others, unfortunately, there was this absolute wild discussion about it being a body double or
Pippa. I heard lots of people say it was Pippa. I mean, to me, it's clear it's Kate. I've been covering this for 14 years. Like, that is Kate, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. And we move on from there. They've been sighted now at the Windsor Farm Shop.
Yes. Oh, I wish I had been there that day. Oh, I wish it had been me.
Well, what's really interesting about this is this has been published. And I think that this sort of the balance of a public interest story at this point has outstripped the expectation of privacy discussion just because of this whole situation. That's one for sort of media lawyers to pore over. It was taken by a member of the public who spotted them in the farm shop. He's also done an interview with the Sun newspaper talking about the fact that they were in there joking with the shop assistants, just doing their shopping like a normal couple. You know, I spoke to someone within the palace earlier this week who just said, like, since when does woman go to supermarket become a front page story? I mean, of course it does in this situation. But really, you couldn't have made this up in the last few months. You could not have made it up. And now we're dealing with this potential breach of her privacy while she was at her most vulnerable. And like, having just gone through surgery myself, an entirely different thing and with a briefer recuperation than Kate, I can't imagine the pressure on her and how horrible this must be. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, this is a husband and wife, and I include William in this, trying to protect their kids. And how can they do this against the Wild West of social media? People who have nothing to do with them, who are making up the most offensive, hurtful and horrible allegations about them. You know, imagine being those kids who are old enough to read.
Yeah. And in school surrounded by friends who
100% you know, whom people talking about, is she dead? Is she missing? Yeah. Are they getting divorced?
Yeah, well, like, imagine quite being frankly, asked, where's your mum?
And it has like, made me really angry their behalf. And I think you have to also think about William in this because he's lived through this before. He lived through this with his mother when he was a young man. And this has got to be his worst nightmare. You know, he has done everything he can to protect his kids from this, to protect his wife from this. And this situation must just be incredibly hard for him to deal with.
Yeah. I was told last week that the Saturday after Kate was released from hospital, he was there at his children's school supporting his eldest son in, I think it was football or rugby, now I'm not sure. But he was there. And can you imagine still having to just go about your daily life next to other parents, with your kids, just pretending everything is fine when you're scared? Because surgery is scary, not just for the person that goes through surgery, but for the person that, you know, all the people around you. Even if you're out of hospital, when you're at home recovering, it's still scary. So yeah, I do actually feel for them a lot.
Yeah, I think that in the fullness of time as well, and you know, the guidance is that the princess might, you know, in due course, reveal more about her condition when she feels ready. And it will probably be in an informal setting. It's not going to be some big statement, but it may come up in the course of an official engagement or something like that, a walkabout with a member of the public. And I do think that when the time comes and people understand what she's been through, I hope they feel...
Yeah.
You know, that it's a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to put yourself in their shoes. It doesn't matter how many homes they've got, how many fancy outfits they've got. This is not a situation you'd wish on anyone. And that's all I have to say about that.
I want to pick your brain, actually, on how Kate's return to work will look like. Now, we know we have more details. We know it's not going to be straight after the Easter holidays, but more after the Easter school holidays, which last longer to mid-April. Do you think her first engagement, it'll be like a joint one with Prince William where she'll be feel supported and won't be the spotlight just on her? What do you think it'll look like?
At the minute, obviously, there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not she will attend the Easter service at St. George's Chapel at Windsor. That would be interesting in itself because my understanding is that the King probably won't be able to attend given the fact that he can't attend large gatherings at the moment on his medical advice. So is there even going to be a family gathering? That is something that's still up in the air at the moment. It's something that's being discussed with her, but she may choose to go to Anne Hall and just enjoy these last few weeks before she's really back in the fray. That's a question for the palace and for Kate herself. We'll find out very soon, of course. But my understanding was always that it would be after the school holidays that, you know, for her to really get back to business because, again, William and Kate, hugely protective of their time with their children. I think they know that they have to make the most of this time while they can before William eventually becomes king. And they protect their school holidays. That's the time that they spend away as a family, living a relatively private life. Yeah. And let's not forget, they are able to live a very private life in this country. They come and go as they please. They're not papped. They are not really scrutinised, you know, if they're going down to the local shops or to the local pub or whatever.
Yeah.
These things happen and it never sort of really makes much of a ripple. It's only really been because of the social media controversy that suddenly there's a demand again for these pictures and behind the scene.
Well, let's hope that things go back to normal quite soon.
I keep saying things are about to calm down.
Well,
I've been saying it for about 10 years now.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm sorry, but this is one for the books. 2024 is one for the books.
Yeah, you could not have made this up. I think we should probably get into the latest controversy, though.
Oh, God, that is
this really alarming breach of her medical privacy at the London
Clinic. Deja vu, a bit of deja vu.
And this is somewhere the royals have been treated for decades, and it's a very expensive, very well-equipped private hospital in the centre of London. This is hugely embarrassing for them. The Information Commissioner has become involved. The police are looking into it. This really is quite a storm, and I think we should get it from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
Let's speak to Russell Myers, who broke the story as royal editor for the Daily Mirror. Welcome to the podcast, Russell Myers, my old friend, the royal editor of the Daily Mirror. And listeners may recognise his voice anyway,
yes.
From Lorraine on ITV many weekday mornings. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, Russell, we couldn't have timed this better. When we asked you to appear this week, we didn't know that you were about to drop a fantastic scoop. Can you tell us a little bit about your story on the front of today's paper?
Yeah, certainly. Well, we've revealed today that the London Clinic has launched an investigation into allegations that a member of staff had accessed the private medical records of the Princess of Wales. And not only hugely, hugely damaging for the reputation of the hospital, which has looked after members of the royal family, presidents, prime ministers, celebrities, you name it, over the last 70, 80 years. It's a real issue for Kensington Palace as well, because they've been caught in the middle of a media and social media storm over the last few weeks as this sort of thirst for information as to of Kate's whereabouts or the details of her medical condition after she was admitted to the hospital was absolutely exploded. And I think this is absolutely indicative of how many people have sort of abandoned all their senses. And the fact that the Information Commissioner's Office is now looking into this alleged breach tells you how serious it is. And the police also have been notified. It is a criminal offence to access the private medical information of a patient if you work in the NHS or a private medical setting. So it'll be very interesting to see the ins and outs of the investigation as it unfolds.
Now, what I was really interested in is obviously Kensington Palace are referring all queries on this to the clinic itself. But, you know, not so long ago, there was a similar incident, if you like, involving Kate in hospital, where there was this awful radio prank in which an innocent nurse was caught up and later very sadly took her life. So this must be something that's incredibly distressing for Kate on a personal level, but also for her and William, given the fact that they never really want anyone else to be caught up in these situations that sometimes arise just because of their fame.
Yeah, I think they are separate in terms of the incident you referred to was two Australian DJs making a prank and a nurse was caught very, very unfortunately in the middle of it. So this seems to be, the allegations are centred on at least one member of staff who has allegedly tried to access her private medical records. Again, the details will have to be pored over by the Information Commissioner's Office who are now involved. They can absolutely prosecute as a civil matter or it could become, you know, further issue for the police. Interestingly, when we spoke to Scotland Yard yesterday, they wouldn't comment or confirm the fact that they were involved. But the health minister, I think Maria Caulfield, has said that the police are aware and that they are involved. So two separate issues, I think. But at the very, very centre, you've got a woman, Princess of Wales, who is caught up in the middle of it. And, you know, she must be very, very distressed to have her medical records pored over. You know, the fact that she had said herself via Kensington Palace that she didn't want this to be public, that she was being very, very private about it. I mean, we've been told privately and by sources that she may decide to speak about it in the future. But of course, that would be her decision and her decision only. So the fact that this is now becoming a huge story is a big issue for Kensington Palace.
I wonder, with everything that's been going on and now this, do you think Kate would have reconsidered when to return back to royal duties?
Do you think she'll come back sooner?
I mean, would she just stop all this? Because, I mean, it has gotten so ridiculous at this point. I mean, the latest is someone's used body doubles and put them in a farm in Windsor. And that, I mean, it is ridiculous. It would make me want to be like, you know what? I'm just going to make an appearance.
Russell, I don't know what you think about this, but my instinct is that they absolutely avoid any knee-jerk reactions to anything.
Yeah, certainly. I think the issue still remains that Kensington Palace had been very, very consistent in their language from the very moment that they announced on January the 16th that Kate had gone into hospital for this abdominal surgery. They said she was going to be in there for a couple of weeks. She ended up being discharged after 13 days. They also said that she wouldn't be expected back to royal duties until after Easter. And that fact still remains. I mean, I think that it's a distinct possibility now that Kate will join the rest of the royal family Easter Sunday to walk to church. It's a stage-managed event. It isn't an engagement where it would be solely centred on her. She wouldn't have to speak. It would sort of have the baby steps of her reintroduction to royal duties. But I wrote a story during the week which was setting out the plan that is involving Kensington Palace, you know, the senior staff, their private secretaries. But interestingly, I discovered that they've brought in former members of staff as well. So they're also leaning on them for sort of help and advice. And it's no wonder, because they've been caught in the middle of this huge, huge storm. They haven't really reacted to it very well. I mean, Emily's totally right. They don't make knee-jerk reactions at all, or hardly ever. But this is something that I do feel has been particularly badly managed, and some maybe of their own doing, and some not, like this situation. But it's been a fast, fast moving set of events, and this is just the tip of the iceberg at the moment.
You say it was badly managed. Can I ask you what you think was the worst part? Like, what really made it just go so crazy?
Well, I can't believe that nobody else at Kensington Palace had eyes on that Mother's Day image.
Yeah.
And the fact of the, you know, the trust element of Prince and Princess of Wales taking the photograph, delivering it to their staff, nobody picking up on the editing. Now, the issue is that there have been previous Photoshop fails, if you like, of images put out by Kate, and now we're getting a cascade of them. If somebody had just, you know, looked at that image, and as we all did, and the big photographic agencies around the world eventually did, and then put out that statement about manipulation and the fact that so much editing had taken place, that could have been easily avoided. But it speaks to me as though something is wrong within the palace communications team, that they were just accepting that as gospel, putting it out to the world's media, putting it out on their own social media, and not thinking anything about it. And that's, to me, is complete naivety.
One thing I think that it's important to raise as well, though, is that it's coming in a climate of understandable fear among picture agencies, news corporations, etc., because of the rise of AI. And I do think that certainly, you know, we've all noticed that things have been digitally enhanced in the past, as most raw portraits have been for centuries. I think that this has blown up in the way it has, partly because of this wider media storm, but also because of this concern. You know, we're in an election year. People are terrified about deepfakes, the influence of AI on what we're consuming. Do you think perhaps if this had been presented to the public a year ago, 2 years ago, there would have been quite the outcry?
We can answer that by the fact is there have been issues with photographs that have been identified before, and there wasn't the outcry. I think there was the Christmas photograph of Louis's missing finger. Few people picked up on it on social media. It wasn't widely reported at all. It might have got a few mentions on a few websites, but the very climate that they have found themselves in, and, you know, not just Kensington Palace, but the Princess of Wales, by first of all choosing not to speak about the reason she was having surgery, absolutely her right, let's not forget, to not disclose that. She didn't want to speak about it, and that should have been wholly respected. But in the climate of these conspiracy theories, which have gone absolutely ballistic, I think that something like this was always going to be pored over. And the fact that there was this litany of issues with the photograph, you know, it didn't take people very, very long to start pulling it apart. And I think that was a grave error on Kensington Palace's part.
What's your take on her statement? Because I can't call it an apology, because it really isn't. She just apologises if we have misunderstood it. Or like if we...
But she apologised if there was confusion.
If there was confusion. Yeah, but she didn't really apologise for editing or releasing that photo, which I think is also very important. It was kind of like half apology. I mean, how did you interpret that?
I mean, she was caught between a rock and a hard place, wasn't she? I don't think she regrets putting the photo out, because the essence of why she did it and Kensington Palace agreed to produce the image was because they wanted to produce a very sweet photograph on Mother's Day. But the issue is the backdrop of the last few weeks. And I think, you know, as Emily said, that this probably wouldn't have been pulled apart as much as it has done, or become such a massive storm, if we were in a normal situation. The fact is, people have been clambering for information for the last few weeks because, you know, these conspiracy theories, where is Kate, what's she doing, the state of their marriage. I mean, it's just been absolutely outlandish. And at the very base, again, you feel very, very sorry for her. And we understand that she's been very upset about it. And why wouldn't you be?
That's something that I wanted just to go back on, because I think I'm right in saying that this incident with the medical records dates back to her time while in hospital, or around that time, when she was really at her most vulnerable. And it really shows that no one is immune from this kind of prurient curiosity. I think we all know people who never normally have any interest in the royal family who are suddenly constantly asking questions about things at the moment. It seems to have completely spiraled out of control. I mean, I don't think it reflects fantastically well on us as a society at the moment.
No.
How do you think that the palace moves forward with this? You know, do they need to look at the way that they address these situations? Do they need to reconsider their never complain, never explain attitude? I mean, the world is changing so quickly. Can they really continue to just weather these storms, or do they need to be more proactive?
Well, there's two points. I mean, this thirst for sort of information about them. I've done this job for about 6-7 years, from the very early days of Harry and Meghan, sort of when they got married. And I've never known a time like this. I mean, I came into the role expecting, you know, a level of interest that has absolutely exploded over the last few years. And of course, you've had deaths, you've had marriages, you've had scandal, and it's just sort of ramped up and up and up. And I think then you've got the perfect storm of social media.
Is it your fault, So just notice the common denominator.
This one, maybe. I do think there was a poll that I saw yesterday, which is something like 55% of people in this country have heard about the conspiracy theories or discussed them with their friends. And I think that's absolutely incredible. Mm. Like, people who have absolutely no interest on day-to-day basis of the royal family have bought into this story and are absolutely hooked in by the sort of drama of it all. And yet forgetting that there is a woman who has been in hospital for a serious medical operation. Now, on your point about the never complain, never explain, it goes in complete contrast to what we were told by Kensington Palace senior staff, that, you know, William and Kate wanted to rip up the rule book. This was after the debacle of the Caribbean tour in 2022 that was extensively reported on by myself and others, about how they got it really, really wrong at the time. And the fact is, they needed to go away. They said they would go away. They would think about their strategy and they would attempt to do things differently. And here we are following that old pattern. And whilst that may be an issue for the Princess of Wales and the fact that it's a private medical issue, there has to be a cohesion strategy from the palace. And I think that's been lacking at the moment. And, you know, whether they're, you know, in this bunker at the moment, trying to strategize her return to public life, it's definitely something that they've got to consider moving forward.
What's been highlighted to me is that, you know, the Waleses have their own problems going on at the same time as King Charles. But I feel like King Charles seems to have a better team behind him. Like, you know, there were rumours that he died. I mean, even my mum called me the other day. It was ridiculous. But he was photographed yesterday, a very clear picture, inside his car, smiling. He's still being pictured doing some sort of behind the scenes.
He had an audience yesterday with Korean War veterans.
Yeah. We've seen photos, videos. Like, he is there. He is him. How are they so different? And is William not being advised by his father? Is he not taking his advice? Like, how can they be so different?
Again, the point is that it is absolutely the individual's prerogative about whether they discuss or reveal details of their private medical history. Now, Charles had been lauded from the NHS and, you know, across the media because of, he was talking about his enlarged prostate. He's been very, very open about his cancer treatment. We've seen him in public. He wanted to remain to be seen. I mean, that has been the word from the palace from the get-go, that he was going to carry on the late Queen's adage of, you know, you have to be seen to be believed. Now, it's very, very different to Kate. From the off, she said that she wanted it to remain private. That has been largely respected, I think, across the mainstream media. But again, it's the social media element. And now I think the two issues are mutually exclusive, because it's up to the individual. And until Kate decided that she wanted to change tact, well, it was always going to be different. And, you know, all the clamoring of, we must see Kate, you know, where is she? When's she going to come back to work? It certainly hasn't been a mainstream element. Yeah. And I think that, unfortunately, the world is a very, very different place. I mean, the world's a different place to what it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think that the royal family are operating in very, very uncharted territories at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to look at their very different roles within the institution. Obviously, the King's head of state, he has constitutional duties. I think there would be a lot more concern now if he were the absent figure.
Yeah.
People would really be wondering what was going on. And I think that the fact that he keeps being seen and they're making a point of updating us regularly, not on his condition, but just showing him to us, has been reassuring and has given some stability to the monarchy at a time when everything else seems to be spiralling out of control. What do you think is going to be the way through this, Russell? Do you think that this is going to blow over anytime soon?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I think the issue about the allegations surrounding Kate's private medical data is absolutely huge. You've just seen, you know, on the back of our story, it's gone around the world and then some. I mean, it's the top of every single news site at the moment. It's being openly discussed on chat shows across the world. So I think the interest in this is, you know, not just a story, it's the wider issue of where have we ended up as a society? Have we really gone beyond the realms of decency? It'll be for the Information Commissioner's Office and the police to decide whether there's been any criminal element, whether the allegations need to be investigated further. But I think everybody needs to take a step back here. And I think we've been largely consistent in the mainstream media of saying, you know, not necessarily back off, Kate, but listening to those sort of pleas from Kensington Palace to say everybody needs to calm down a little bit. Again, there is a woman at the centre of this story that has had a very serious operation, that she wanted to remain private and that she wanted to recover and not come back until she was ready. So I think what may change is that the way that Kensington Palace deal with the public and the media moving forward, whether that changes the Princess of Wales's decision to speak about her relative ailments remains to be seen. But I don't think she should be rushed back to work. But Easter Sunday possibly presents the right opportunity to come back, to be with her family, to not necessarily have to talk to anyone. It's a very, very closed environment, and it will give her an opportunity to have that sort of baby steps back to work.
Do you think that social media companies bear any responsibility in trying to... Look, I mean, obviously, freedom of speech is one thing, but there's an awful lot of trolling and people setting themselves up as experts. And there's almost something about the algorithms and the likes and the shares and the traction people are getting. You know, people are making money out of this on TikTok from their bedrooms in America.
God knows where.
And by basically telling lies. And I don't know how we correct that as a society. But going back to your point, like, there's a human being at the centre of this. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm just thinking aloud. You know, it's certainly something that William has talked about in the past in terms of social media. He tried, he had his task force to try and improve the way social media is regulated, and that didn't happen. The companies didn't want to know, but this must be so triggering for him, especially in light of what his mother went through.
Well, it's been hugely upsetting for both of them, you can imagine. And I mean, the issue is, how on earth do you police the internet? I mean, we're having this issue time and time again, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. And you're totally right. I mean, this is being peddled. These conspiracy theories are from people thousands of miles away who have probably never seen a royal in their own life, let alone spoken to members of the palace communications team, have absolutely no insight, and might chuck in a couple of allegedlies here and there, but it's just gone absolutely crazy. How do you police that? I mean, I certainly don't know. And it's a bigger question, not only for the palace, but for those social media giants that are responsible for people on their platform. But it's a very, very tall order. And the genie is definitely out of the bottle at the moment. And I'm not sure it can ever be sort of rowed back, because once somebody starts saying something and it spreads like wildfire. We've seen this in sort of US elections and elections around the world. It's just this peddling of misinformation is very, very dangerous in society at the moment.
I was wondering if I could ask you about photos. Now, we've spoken before about Kate's photos, but from the beginning, we were told that William shouldn't be photographed, you know, heading to the hospital, and it was respected. If you could explain to our listeners what has happened with the release of certain photos, because there was the first picture of Kate in the car with Carol Middleton, and that one didn't run in the UK. It ran on a US website, and we never really published it here. And then there was the picture of William coming out of Windsor, going to the Commonwealth Service, and turns out Kate was in the car, so that picture was allowed to run. And now these, well, the video of them at the farm shop over the weekend, and obviously the stills from the video made front pages all over the UK. How has that happened?
Well, I think the first one you referred to was the paparazzi shot of Kate and Carol Middleton in the car. I think there was the ambiguity of the fact that she had been possibly returning from the school run, that we didn't really know where that photograph had been taken. There are a lot of private roads on the Windsor estate. And I think that that was the infancy, even though this has been a fast-moving story. I mean, we're talking just days ago, but that was still in the infancy of this whole issue about whether Kate was going to be seen, whether she wanted to be seen, and the issue that we'd all agreed not to use paparazzi images. We'd not agreed to photograph her when she was going about her private business. The difference of her being photographed with Prince William is that she was going to an appointment and he was going to an official engagement. So they were on a public road that had been photographed out and about in Windsor. And I think we were all picking up information that Kate and William had been seen around Windsor, going about their business, going to the shopping, taking their kids to school. So there was an air of normality about it. And then you had the other video of them at the farm shop where they're both looking very happy, they're both smiling, they're both very, very much in a public place. And the argument is, if you really didn't want to be seen, then don't go to the farm shop and in a public place where people are, you know, having tea and scones and picking up a bit of shopping. So I think it has changed, even though it's only the course over a few days. The situation has changed very, very quickly. And then to that point, maybe Kensington Palace haven't really kept up with the pace of this. I mean, it's been hard enough for all of us working on the story to keep pace with it, but sort of Kensington Palace have really been quite lacking in that sense, I think.
I think it's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because they're never going to condone any pictures of them where there is a reasonable expectation of privacy. But as you say, that was a public place taken by a member of the public as opposed to a paparazzo. Yeah. And I think that is really a key point there, because at the point where the UK press starts to publish pap photos again, then it's really flying in the face of, you know, everything that came out following the inquest into the death of Diana. You know, there were various promises made about not using pap photos. And largely, Kate and William have been able to live under the radar and go about their business. They are able to go to shops. They are able to do all sorts of things fairly privately. And that was one of the interesting things about Harry and Meghan's, you know, discussion about paparazzi in this country. I don't think, you know, there is the same market for pap photos, or there hasn't been until now. It would be very interesting to see if that changes.
That's a great point, because, you know, we are in a very, very different world to the sort of Diana years. The landscape has changed absolutely immeasurably. And I think that there was certainly that level of respect from us as royal correspondents or the mainstream media to allow Kate to be in hospital to recover at her own pace. And yet we've all been caught in the middle of this social media storm that has absolutely run riot. So will the palace have done things differently? I'm not too sure. I think they probably would have followed the same track, because it was her decision right from the get-go.
It probably makes sense, though, that they are pictured, you know, Sunday at the service, because then they would avoid maybe being papped during their holidays.
Well, that's going to be a question going forward, whether or not anyone does choose to use pap pictures. That's one for another episode,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, for
Russell,
sure.
Thank you so much for joining us on what has been yet another wildly crazy day.
Well, absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming. I think Russell's one of the busiest men in Fleet Street at the moment.
Yes, and he said he hadn't slept much and he actually looked really good. So,
oh, we'll pass that on. I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always extraordinary when you really think there can be nowhere else for a story to go and then something like this lands. And, you know, I think it's the adrenaline getting people through at this point. But if we're all finding it hard, just keeping up as people on the outside, as reporters and journalists, I can't begin to think how William and Kate are feeling.
Well, and their comms team.
Yep, it's been super tough. I think it's been super tough. And one thing I think that people perhaps don't appreciate is that these things are generally done in good faith. You know, there's certainly not been any attempt to deceive anyone or to mislead anyone. They've been absolutely clear throughout. And of course, whatever instincts the comms team might have had, it has to be weighed against what the princess wants to do. And ultimately, she has a right to proceed as she wishes. And perhaps things will be done differently in future. But I think you can't point too many fingers of blame here. It's just been an extraordinary storm of events.
Yeah. I love that we record an episode. You know, we do have plans. We do have a list of things that we're going to be recording, but everything changes so quickly because things that you can't imagine that will happen, happen. So honestly, I don't know what we'll be talking about next time because, you know, we have a plan, but who knows?
Yeah. Strange times we're living through.
So that's everything from us today. Thank you so much to Russell and to you two for joining us. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, catch more from Hello with our news and entertainment show, The Daily Lowdown, available on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Bye.